Today on Hardwired.
I don't want to sound cynical, but the Bible says clearly don't put your faith in the arm of flesh. Don't lean on people, but there's one you can put your faith in who will never walk out, who will never turn his back, who will never say, I don't know you, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He will never walk out. He will never, never forsake you.
Welcome to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. If you're looking for some words of hope, encouragement, solid biblical truth, and maybe even a laugh or two, well, that's exactly what Pastor Jeff wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated at times, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always check it out at our website, hardwired.org. In fact, you can find all the programs right there waiting just for you, hardwired.org. But right now, here's Pastor Jeff to tell us more about today's program on Hardwired.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Hardwired. You know, one of my heroes in the Bible has got to be the great Apostle Paul. You just couldn't knock him out of the race. Everything hell could unleash against him didn't prevail. Sort of like the Energizer Bunny, he just kept on going. Oh, sure, there were times when he was knocked down, but he was never knocked out. Today, we're going to look at how this should be true for every believer. So are you tired today? Do you feel defeated? Are you trying just to put one foot in front of another? I understand. I can't wait to share part two of the message, Knocked Down, But Not Out. Let's get right to it.
Let's look at what Paul told the Corinthians about his own sufferings. He said, therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, what are the next words, everybody read them with me? We do not lose heart. I want you to catch that because that's the gist of where I'm going today. We don't lose heart. The God who said, let there be light, and that's the first thing God created, light. Let there be light, and there was light. Now he said, the same God that did that has shined in your heart. He has said, let there be light in your heart, but not physical light, spiritual light. What kind of light? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Paul said, we do not lose heart. We go through all kinds of troubles and problems and trials and tribulations, but even in spite of all of them, we do not faint. That's the idea. We don't faint on the inside. We don't put up the white flag. We don't walk away and give up on God. We don't leave the prayer closet. We don't stop reading the word. We don't get out of church. We don't get out of fellowship. We don't quit the race. No matter what happens to us, God keeps us afloat. God has allowed me to go through a trial where I'm hard pressed, but he's also not allowed me to be crushed by it. The word pressed here is from a Greek word meaning to constrict or compress or to be confined, hemmed in, or restricted to a narrow place. We are hard pressed. Everything is going against me. Ever feel that way? Everything is going against me. Now, Paul said, when this happened to him and his fellow apostles, when they're out there on the road preaching the gospel, winning people to Christ, building churches, when this happened to them, he said, the Lord did not allow the multiple trials to crush us. He did not protect us from the trials, but he protected us in the trial. He did not allow the trials to do us in. Now, I guarantee you, if you're feeling hard-pressed today, the Lord is watching everything you're going through. He's aware of everything. Paul said God was watching everything we went through. He didn't stop us from being hard-pressed, but as soon as it got more than we could bear, when we were even despairing of our life, God said, that's it, far enough. Devil, you can't go any further. Circumstances, you can't go any further. People that are coming against them, you can't go any further. And God lowered the boom and set a boundary. He says, you, God, have established all the boundaries of the earth. He sets boundaries on all of his creation. God has established all the boundaries that are in the earth. And that includes the boundaries of your trials. because God set boundaries and God said, you can go this far and no further. We talk a lot about the devil, oh, the devil this and that and the other, and devil's attacking me and the devil's done this and that. But let me tell you something, the devil's a dog on a leash. He can't move one step without God's permission, because our God is a God of boundaries. He sets boundaries on our trials, and he will not allow our trials to go beyond a certain place, a certain mark in the sand, a boundary. He sets the boundaries. And he said, I'm not going to keep you from them because they teach you to trust me, but I'm not going to let your trials crush you. They will not take you out. You are not going down. You're going through. It's not what I'm going through, it's what I'm going to. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God's got his hand on the dial of your trial. Amen. Can we thank the Lord today? Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen, amen. So stay with me. God's got his hand on the dial of my trial. It's absolutely true. Now, the second thing we learn here is this. Confusion will not discourage us. He said, we are perplexed, but we are not driven to despair. We are perplexed, but we aren't driven to despair. Now, perplexed is an interesting word, and I'm going to show you what they mean in the original language, because the original language will open up windows to these words and what they mean. And we need to know what Paul was thinking when he wrote it. So, perplexed is from a Greek word meaning at a loss. To be without resources, to be in straits, to not know which way to turn. That's what it means. We are perplexed. We're at a loss. Paul said, there have been times we were at a loss. We didn't know which way to turn. We didn't know what was going down. We didn't know what we were supposed to do, how we were going to handle this, if we would even come out alive. We were in straits. We didn't have the resources to get us out. We didn't know what God was going to do or how he was going to do it. We were perplexed. And in that honesty, now if I'm the mighty apostle and I'm writing the Bible that's going to be read for 2,100 years, I don't know if I'm going to say those things. I'm just going to say, glory to God. It's all been good. I'm God's man of faith and power for the hour. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm favored. I'm blessed. I'm this and I'm that. But Paul said, no, there were times we didn't know what was going on. We were perplexed. Out of nowhere, a trial hit us. You know, life throws curveballs. Anybody ever had a curveball thrown at you by life? Life throws curveballs. Out of nowhere, a trial comes knocking that leaves us at a total loss. We don't know which way to turn. We're totally taken by surprise. I can tell you, there have been times in my life where life threw me a curveball. And I think some of you can identify with this, but there were times in my life where I just looked up and all I could pray was, Lord, I don't know what to do. Have mercy on me. This is bigger than I am and I don't know where to turn. There were times I couldn't even pray that. There were times I got two words out, help me. Amen? Now, that may not be very eloquent, but sometimes that's the most raw, real, greatest prayer you can pray. How many of you have ever said, Lord, I don't know what to pray. Just help me. Help me. And that's what perplexed means. When you just look up and say, Lord, I don't understand the circumstances. I don't understand what I'm going through. I don't get it. I thought this was going to happen, but this is happening instead. I thought I was going to go here, but I'm going there instead. I thought it was going to be this person, but it's that person. I assume things that have turned out to not be true. Or, Lord, I'm experiencing a trial that I can't make head or tails of. And, Lord, I don't know what to do. That's perplexed. That's perplexed. And Paul said, we were perplexed, but the Lord did not allow it to drive us into despair. And you know what? In my own life, when I just had to look up and say, I don't know what to do, Lord, help me, Lord, please help me. Help this boy. Help Jeff Wickwire. He always came through, and I always got to the other side, and I always ended up looking back going, well, I didn't know how I was going to get out, but I got out. I didn't know how I was going to stand up again, but I stood up again. I didn't know how I was going to make it through, but I made it through. How did I do it? Not by might, not by power, but by the grace and the Spirit of the Lord, I made it through. And God carries us through things like that so that we can look up and say, Lord, it wasn't my doing, it was your doing. I could never have done it, but you did it. And so I give you all the praise. If you've had something like that lately, can we just lift our hands and just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. One day, life threw King Jehoshaphat a major curveball. King Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah, and he was doing great, and things were going great, but somebody came to him all of a sudden. They brought a report, and they said, "Oh, king, a mighty army is coming against us, a vast army, innumerable. It's huge. You can't see the end of this army coming against us. It's an overwhelming attack. Ammonites, Moabites, and otherites coming against them." And they said, "King, this is bad news." And the Bible says that King Jehoshaphat prayed the right kind of prayer. Number one, he prayed. He went to God with it. But then he prayed the right kind of prayer. It was, "I'm perplexed, but I'm not in despair" kind of prayer. He said, "Oh God, we have no power. We have no power, no resources to face this vast army that is attacking us. We don't know what to do." Everybody say perplexed. "We don't know what to do." But then he said, "But our eyes are on you." Oh, I love that. When you don't know what to do, get your eyes on him. Don't get your eyes on the problem. Don't look at people, places, or things. Get your eyes looking up. We don't know what to do. We're perplexed, but Lord, we put our eyes on you. And that's what kept him from despair. And he said, "Lord, we don't know what to do." Well, God sent a prophet, and you know what they did? They put singers and worshipers in the front of their own army. Their own army was minuscule compared to this army coming against them. But see, they had God with them. And if God be for us, then who can be against us? If God is for you, he can save by many, or he can save by few. And so there was few of them and many of their enemy, but they put the singers and the worshipers in the front of the line. Not weapons, not swords and spears and arrows and whatever, but just singers. And can you imagine what the Moabites and the Ammonites and the otherites thought when they came up on the children of Judah, the people of God? And instead of seeing warriors with weapons, there were singers just worshiping God. But it says all of a sudden God moved and sent confusion among them. They began to destroy one another, and God wiped out this vast, massive army that was coming against Jehoshaphat, and God got the glory. So when you don't know what to do, when you're perplexed, you look up and you say, "God, I don't know what to do, but I know that you do." Can I tell you something? When we are confused, he's not. When we are overwhelmed, he isn't. When we are bum-fuzzled, he is not bum-fuzzled. When we don't know what to do, he knows exactly what to do. And so everybody say, look up. When we are overwhelmed, run to Jesus, run to Jesus. When you're perplexed, run to Jesus. Run into the presence of Jesus.
Pastor Jeff will be back in a moment, but first I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Now, you may not be able to stay with us for the entire program, but don't worry. You can find the program at our website, hardwired.org, along with all of the programs from Pastor Jeff. Also, we regularly get emails and calls from listeners just like you who tell us how much the program means to them. But we would love to hear from you too. So let me encourage you to connect with us by calling 877-884-3111 or through the website, hardwired.org. That's hardwired.org. Or call 877-884-3111. And now let's get back to Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
Now there's a third thing I see in what Paul said. Opposition will not deter us. We are persecuted, he said. That's opposition. But we're not forsaken. Opposition will not deter us. Persecution is opposition. Do you know what persecution means? In the Greek language, it literally means to be hunted down. It means that something is coming at you aggressively. It means that a predator, something is pursuing you to harm you. Hunted. That's what persecution means. Being hunted. These churches in California are starting to feel like they're hunted. Like they're being singled out to be treated this way when protests can happen and riots can happen and nobody stops them and bars are full and you can go to Home Depot and you can go to Walmart, but you can't go to church. Hunted, persecuted, hunt down like a hunter pursuing a catch. And Paul knew exactly what this felt like as he was hunted his whole ministry. He was hunted. See, unbelieving Jews that were furious at Paul, that tried to kill him all the time, hated his guts because he was pulling people out of Judaism and into the new faith that it was in the Lord Jesus Christ, the new covenant. And so what they did was a group of Jews would follow him from town to town, hunted. And he would stand up to preach the gospel, and they would be standing there shouting at him, refuting him, trying to undo what he was saying. He was hunted, town to town, city to city. He would leave a city and they would come swooping in and they would look for the converts he had won to Christ, and they would try to talk them out of their new faith in Christ. Hunted, persecuted. He was stoned, he was imprisoned. He was slandered, he was lied about. He was abused, he was wronged, hunted. They threatened his life, spread lies about him, stirred up frenzied mobs to attack him. He was hunted. But he says, let me tell you something. Yeah, they hunted me, but I was not forsaken. I was not forsaken. Hallelujah, I was not forsaken. Now, he's talking about Jesus not forsaking him, not men, because men forsook him. Men forsook him all the time. What did he say about Demas? Demas has forsaken me. He said, when I got pulled in front of Caesar to give my defense, everybody in Asia that I'd won to Christ forsook me. But the Lord did not forsake me. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me. And I stood with my testimony of Jesus in front of the Caesar, in front of the high court of Rome. But people forsook him. But here's the deal. No matter what you go through, church, though people walk out on you, somebody that you love may walk out on you, friends may turn on you, they may stick you in the back with a knife, they may get out there and somebody that you used to run with and walk with and shared your life with has now turned against you. You can expect that from people. I don't want to sound cynical, but the Bible says clearly, don't put your faith in the arm of flesh. Don't lean on people. But there's one you can put your faith in who will never walk out, who will never turn his back, who will never say, I don't know you, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He will never walk out. He will never, never forsake you. People can fail you, and you will fail people, but the captain of our salvation will never walk away from us. He will stick closer than a brother. He said, I am with you always, to the very end of the age. And he said in Hebrews 13, verse 5, I love this, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. The feeling there is, it's impossible, it's preposterous to ever think that I would ever walk out on you. It'll never happen. Amen. So pressure, say this with me, pressure will not defeat us. Confusion will not discourage us. Opposition will not deter us. And there's one more. Hard hits will not destroy us. He said, we are struck down, but not destroyed. Struck down in the original language is a wrestling term, and it means to be cast or thrown to the ground. We've all seen two wrestlers, and what they're trying to do immediately is one or the other wants to get the other down on the mat and hold him down where he's got to say, you got me. And the referee gives the count. And if it makes it to 10 while he's holding him down, he wins. The idea is we are struck down. Paul said, there were times in my ministry where we were struck down. We were taken to the mat. We were taken to the mat. We were in a battle for our life. We were taken down. We were cast down. We were thrown to the ground. If you live long enough, I guarantee you, you're going to experience being cast down. It comes by a sucker punch, a trial that comes out of nowhere and knocks you down. You didn't see it coming, it knocks you down. We're confident we can handle the normal trials of life. Oh yeah, I can. You know, I got some bills, I don't know how I'm gonna pay them. Or I got a flat tire the other day and that was a hassle. Or my car broke down, oh, you know, God will help me. Those are the normal trials of life. But a sucker punch is the trial you didn't see coming that is a big deal. You lose your job. You get a bad doctor report. You find out your spouse was unfaithful. Out of nowhere, pop, it comes. And that's when all your coping mechanisms melt away. I like what Mike Tyson said. He said, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. Yeah, that reminds me of Lamaze classes. I remember me and Kathy, my late wife, when Jeremy was gonna be born, we went through all the Lamaze class. We learned how to breathe and all that stuff. But how many of you have ever experienced that? And then when it came time to have that baby, Lamaze went out the window. Kathy made up words to call me when I told her, breathe, breathe. Come on, ooh, ooh, ooh. And all she did was scream at me to get another piece of ice and go away. Everybody's got a plan till you go into labor. Everybody's got a plan till you get punched in the mouth, right? But listen, Paul triumphantly testifies that the sucker punches, listen everybody, the sucker punches that hit us didn't kill us. They didn't kill us. We were down, but not out. We got knocked down for a season, but we were not knocked out. If you've been knocked down by a sucker punch today, let me make a prediction. You are down, but you are not out. Now, the devil will tell you you're down for good. The devil will tell you, this is it. You're down. I've got you down. You might as well give up, leave church, get out of prayer. You're down. You're not like others. You're in a battle you're never going to recover from. This mistake, this sin, these circumstances, what they did to you, what he did to you, what she did to you, you're never going to recover. But the devil likes to lie about the one who lives in you, because greater is he that is in you than anything you're going through. I'm going to say that again, because some of you look at me like, I don't know, Pastor Jeff, this has been a tough season. Let me tell you something. If you have been knocked down by a sucker punch, you're getting back up. I know you're going to get back up, because greater is he that lives in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he, because listen, they took our Lord Jesus Christ and they beat him beyond recognition. They made him carry his cross up a hill. He dropped it and they had to get the Simon of Cyrene, a black man, frankly, truthfully, to carry his cross for him. They took him up that hill. They laid him down on that cross. They hammered huge nails through his wrists, not through his hand bones, but right here where they could go through without breaking bones. And the same in his ankles. And they hoisted him up and he dropped down into the ground. The cross made a thud when it hit the ground, the bottom of the hole. And he felt that lurch. And Jesus hung there like a common criminal and died for you and me. He gave his life for you and me. He shed his blood for you and me. Buddha didn't. Muhammad didn't. Hare Krishna didn't. Confucius didn't. Nobody bled for you and died for you but Jesus Christ. His crimson blood, innocent and pure, poured down that cross. And the Bible says that while he hung on that cross, God laid on him the iniquity of us all. Every curse word you ever spoke, every sin you ever committed, every wrong thing you ever did, every vile thing that ever came out of your mouth or entered your mind was laid on Jesus Christ, and he became the sin sacrifice for us all. They took him down off that cross. They laid him in a borrowed tomb owned by Joseph. And the Roman government thought that was it. We got rid of him. The Jewish religious leaders said, that's it, we got rid of him. But Jesus Christ, on the third day, the Holy Ghost entered that tomb and moved across Jesus with the spirit of resurrection. And the Son of God breathed for the first time in 3 days. He opened his eyes. He stood up in that tomb. He laid his grave clothes in the corner, nice and neat. Jesus was not sloppy. And the angel moved the boulder away, and Jesus walked out into the first Easter sunshine morning, raised from the dead. That Savior lives in you. Lives in you. So you may feel down. Others may say, well, that's it for you. But I'm going to tell you something. You can't keep a good man down. You can't keep a Christian down, because the spirit of resurrection that was in him is in you. And he's going to stand you back up, dust you off, get you back on the path, and you're going to do the will of God for your life and then go to glory. So say with me, pressure won't defeat me. Confusion won't discourage me. Opposition won't deter me, and hard hits will not destroy me.
Thanks for listening today to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. To get a copy of today's message, give us a call at 877-884-8255. 3111. Or you can pick it up at our website, hardwired.org. That's 877-884-3111 or the website, hardwired.org. While you're there at the website, you'll find today's message along with all the messages from Pastor Jeff. We know they've been an encouragement to you, so be sure to forward them on to a friend who you think needs to hear today's message or any of the messages there at the website. It might be the very thing they need to be encouraged as well. Again, the website is hardwired.org or call us at 877-884-3111. If you haven't been to the website lately, jump on over there and take a look at all we have for you. One last thing, your partnership with this program through your generous giving is always needed and very appreciated. We know Hardwired is making a difference in your life, so this is how you can make a difference to ours. Please take a minute to send your best gift through our website, hardwired.org, or by calling 877-884-3111. Thanks so much for your heart of generosity. We truly do appreciate it. Be sure to join us next time right here on Hardwired.